All right, everybody. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of Boxplaining Witchcraft. I have with me today a very reoccurring friendly sort. Miss Holly. And Holly, you are educating us on an upcoming pagan holiday.
I am. And I'm kind of excited. We were just talking that this is one of the sort of kind of overlooked holidays of the turning of the wheel. And but I think being a woman, and I think also like getting a little bit older, it's come to mean a lot more to me than it maybe did when I was a little bit younger. But this is, of course, the mark of the beginning of the autumn year in the Celtic world. And it is traditionally celebrated. The Druids marked time differently than we do. So it was like from sundown to sundown. So usually on the 31st, which is interesting, we're having our celebration then. But usually August 1st. And then because it was a pan-Celtic holiday, in other words, what I mean by that is that it was celebrated in Ireland, Scotland, Isle of Man, Wales, even in England. They just had their different versions of it. Mm-hmm. And these harvest festivals for Lunasa could literally last for upwards of 2 weeks, which is kind of, you know, the Celts love to party. That's all there is to it.
You would think it would be more recognized because of the length of time of partying.
I know. It's amazing because they party a lot and I enjoy this. But it really was a really important festival and holiday for them, because we've talked about this in like every podcast that I've done, how, you know, the Celts, because they were indigenous to the land, you know, they lived off of the land. And so their worldview was based on that idea of cyclical time, and basically what they saw in nature reflected in their own belief system and own spirituality. So they had a name for July. They called it Hungry July, because they were really ultimately like running out of supplies by this time. And so they had planted, but they were just waiting for the harvest, for the crops to come to fruition. And so this time, the other name that it goes by is Lammas, which meant loaf mass. So, and then that evolved into like a Christian holiday as well, because they like to, you know, kind of, there's always that meshing of belief systems. But this specifically, Lunasa, is the first harvest of three. This one would be the grain harvest and the very first fruits, such as bilberries, which are a lot like blueberries. And they called these also corn, like corn festivals, what we would say, but they called it like kern, like K-E-R-N almost, kern festival. So they had dolls and different things, we'll talk about that later, that sort of honored this time. And they called like basically all grain corn. So just heads up on that. But
also is Coke.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they were really, really, I mean, they were just so ecstatic to have those harvests in. And they would even, I was reading that they would even have a method of like, you know, I live in the country, there are combines and all this kind of thing, and it takes them a couple days, you know, no big deal. But obviously doing this by hand was a you know, it really was representative of a great deal of resilience and hard work for these people. And it's what kept them alive. It's what kept the community alive. And so they would actually burn some of the like wheat to in this dry, weird drying process, so that they would be able to like make bread and that sort of thing, oat cakes, that kind of thing, really quickly. So kind of a really interesting history. But this time, of course, I love saying the word Lunasa. So let's talk about that. What the heck does Lunasa mean? Because right?
Thank you for saying it correctly. I know so many people, I hear them like, how do you say this? And I'm like,
I love saying it, Lunasa. But it's basically, Lu is it within that. So L-U-G-H, pronounced Lu. So it really is the it's translates to basically like the funeral celebration or like for Lou, but it really wasn't exactly originally for Lou himself, which is interesting. It was more matriarchal, which I love this. So Lou was one of those, he was part of, you've heard me talk about the Tuatha De Danann, which were the first like mythical godlike peoples of Ireland. And he ended up becoming a high king and ruled for 40 years. And there's this huge story about his, it was prophesied that he would basically defeat their main enemy, the Fomorian god Balor, who was like, it was almost like a Goliath kind of a character, where they were, they came and basically took firstborn children and they also took money and all this kind of thing, and they really like terrorized the Tuatha for a long time. And Lou's the guy that ended up, his he was actually, strangely enough, by fate and some druidic magic, he was Balor's grandson. But Balor heard the prophecy, and he locked his daughter away because he was determined that his grandson wasn't going to happen, so that he couldn't end up killing him. And so it ended up that Birog, who was a druidess, took him on and basically made this happen. So his father was Sion, and he was a Tuatha De Danann, and he traveled, and he ended up with Aethlyn created Lou. And of course, Birog, this very, very badass druidess, also helped him escape because his grandfather was trying to kill him as well. So with that being said, she took him back to with his father, and his father could put him in the hands of Teltui. And she was a queen and goddess of another basically Irish tribe or of Firbolgs. Anyway, she was a harvest queen. She cleared all of the fields out of great love for her peoples, and she cleared all of the fields of Ireland so that they could actually learn how to become agricultural. And so that's where it goes all the way back to Teltui. And he then was honoring his stepmother. Lou was honoring his stepmother. So everyone thinks it's all about Lou, but it's all about Lou's love for his mother, his stepmother, Teltui, who stepped in and made family who wasn't by blood, which I think is a really symbolic thing to think about. We make our own families by spirit, not necessarily by blood. And he was honoring her because she exerted herself out of love for her people so much that basically she cleared all of this land. And then she basically was dying and asked Lou to remember her by having festivals and games and remembering her on the hill where she passed, so that basically the people would not be sad, but would be honored by her great hard work and all of, you know, her love for the people. And so in modern times, he is often aligned with a Celtic sun god, but he also has, it's symbolic because he is considered what's called, I'm going to throw another awesome word at you guys. He was considered the Samildnach, which means, right? I know. I love that word too. It's so cool. But the Samildnach means basically that he was, the way that he was raised, he was raised by farmers. He was raised by regular people. He was raised by, at, for one point, the sea god, at one point Teltui, all of these different people. And so he became a master of all skills. And so he was truly the most gifted of all of the gods to be a and really truly deserved to lead the people. And okay. So he's like considered the bright shining one because he truly was. He was a druid, he was a healer, he was, you know, he was a poet, he was a musician, he was a warrior, he was an intellectual, he was all of these things, like straight up classic Renaissance man before the Renaissance. He was a really cool guy. So I think for me personally, I love this story. And I think it's kind of sad that people have sort of, a lot of people have forgotten about Teltui and the sacrifices that she made and how cool it was that she, you know, he loved her dearly and respected her great power and realized that to be a good leader, he needed to show that empathy and always take care of his people. And part of her request was also that it wouldn't just be the community there, but it would be all the communities in the area would come together as like a people, as an extended family, and that all weapons had to be laid down during the festival season, which was also a really cool thing because that gave, and as this continued throughout history to actually be celebrated, because this area was in, it's called Telltown, and it was also it's in County Meath in Ireland, and it really it did historically, like, you know, they've celebrated this holiday for years and years and years. And so it was a time when, get this, this is really interesting to me, they would have the games, you know, of, you know, they would throw spears and run and swim and have horse races and chariot races and all of this wonderful things that, you know, Celts were known for. But then they would also get busy with some smack poetry. They would have poetry slams and, you know, and they would dance, they would have a dance off, and they would make music together. And, you know, I just love the idea of that whole, like, the arts were included in these people, you know, that was just as valuable as, you know, running and, you know, and personally, I can so relate to the, you know, poetry and that kind of stuff, as opposed to, I was never very good at running the mile. Let's just put it that way. But I appreciate this, you know, this is good. This makes me happy. Like, everybody was included. Also, it was a really interesting time when, like, the farmers would get together and they would trade, you know, cattle, and they would, you know, trade what everybody needed, that sort of thing. There would be tribes that had been like sort of fighting would come together and make peace. And so it was a time of like really like coming together as a community, as a symbolic family, making peace, honoring what, you know, nature has provided and the hard work of the peoples that, you know, are with the earth. And it's just a really beautiful sentiment that I think that we can take into the modern time, most definitely, because mm-hmm. I know that, you know, I think about myself as a mother. I think about, you know, all the mothers out there. I think about my mom, you know, all the things that, you know, you kind of like, I know that I love my mom dearly, but you take things for granted sometimes. And it's just a time of like remembering like all of the hard work that we put in for our children. And it's cool that this big, like, wonderful, like, Simildenac golden boy was like, yeah, but mom's cool. She's really cool. This is why we're like, doing it. You know, like
Mother's Day.
Yes. Yes. But it was like such a like badass version of Mother's Day. There was like,
it's more than just have some flowers, mom.
Yeah, this was good. This was like, I'm going to throw a spear and, you know, right, and all of this kind of thing.
I'm going to prove that my mom can kick your mom's butt exactly by throwing my spear farther.
Exactly. So it's just, the older I get, the more I really like sort of, it resonates with me, and I find it really like, I don't know. It's just I think it's a really kind of a cool sentiment, you know. And just in the time, we've talked about this before, in the time of supermarkets and all of that, you kind of take it for granted, but it's that reconnection to nature and realizing, wow, what's going on, that, you know, like this used to be for real, like this is life, this is death, this is rebirth, this is, you know, living in that cycle of a nature, and really honoring, you know, the things to come, because Maybon will be the next harvest festival celebrated in September. And then we go into the last harvest festival, which is Samhain, which is where they would harvest the animals. So of course, that was kind of like why it was had all of these, you know, connections with death and blood and guts and this sort of thing. So, but it's interesting because it all, you know, it really makes a lot of sense. And I think that it's sort of like the last hurrah, because in the Celtic world, Samhain was, of course, the beginning of the year too. So after Samhain was the dark time of the year, and the Celts are always like about that dichotomy of light and darkness and kind of needing both in your, you know, the opposites, needing both to continue that wheel of life and that flow of energy. And so, like, you know, it's kind of like saying goodbye to summer. So there's a little bit of sorrow. In fact, one of the translations with, I think it had the, one of the translations of this had to do with like basically the sadness of like, you know, leaving summer, but moving on to the harvest and then, you know, getting ready for, of course, the cold time of the year. But I really, you know, like I said, I really think it's an interesting time. I plan, of course, we were planning our celebration, but I always think that it's really cool to, you know, make something, create something, give back something. The first breads that were baked were given to Lu and Teltui as an offering. Mm. And then, of course, began the festivities of everyone else, you know, enjoying. And so I think like this is the perfect time for, if we're talking about how can we celebrate this in the modern time, you know, get together with fam or friends, bake some bread, you know, even if you're not that great at it, you know, try it. I plan on making all sorts of zucchini and apple bread and all kinds of breads, and just, you know, being with family and friends, and you know, uplifting each other, having that shared spirit connection, you know, always, if you can be outside and have a bonfire and have some, you know, wine or meat or whatever, and you know, it's so uplifting, I think, to all of us. And you know, it's that slowing down is so important, because I think that, I don't know, it's just been it just driving anymore. It's like, I don't know, it's like I feel like in the last few years people have lost a sense of like chill, you know what I mean, of just empathy and just, you know, that connection. It's like everybody's like this all the time, and I think this is so important to our health and our spirituality. So I usually, of course, always like to, you know, I think about, I make incense to, you know, as an offering as well. And usually I always think about, for this one, I'm definitely going, you know, I'm going to harvest some wheat actually, and put it on my altar. It's really handy living out in the country, hint, hint, if you have, you know, some scissors and so that works out. But the grains were, of course, symbolic of fulfillment that, and also that potential, because at this time they not only would harvest the grain and, you know, bake breads and all of this kind of thing, but they would also harvest the seeds for next year. So that's a big deal as well. And you can think of that symbolically as well, like the potential for, you know, what's, you know, there's going to be an ending. What are we looking forward to? What are we cultivating in the future as well? You know, so I always look to nature when I create my, you know, like my incense blends and that sort of thing, the flowers, you know, cornflowers and sunflowers and poppies are in season, and they were honored at that time in the Celtic worlds. The seeds were often, and poppies in general, were often used as like a remembrance in for funerals and that sort of thing. So I feel like that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? So also calendula, sunflowers have that solar energy going for them. And so a meadow sweet, it was a sacred to the Druids. It was used in divination. It's also called the bride of the meadow. So of course, that goes in the pot for me, most definitely, to honor Teltui. So also, I think that crystals, I think if you use crystals in your practice, you know, citrine, yellow calcite, yellow adventurine, yellow agate, definitely those solar energies. I personally, around this time, also am very drawn to the golden, you know, golden healer crystals, because it is a time of fruition, harvest, but it's also kind of honoring that idea of that Smildenac being that healer of souls and healer of, you know, it's just that coming together is a healing for sure. Also, tiger's eye, which brings is good for confidence and resilience, which I see in the you know, in Teltui and in Luhan as well. Like, it's, we have to find community, and we have to, you know, life is hard, but if we, you know, we've got to keep going, and we've got to have hope, and really be grateful for the good things that do come in our lives. Also, I would say green adventuring, significant of like health and abundance, would be something that you could work with, crystal. I like to throw a little red jasper or carnelian in there as well. Again, the solar and healing. They also, another thing that I'm learning to make corn dollies, or they call them different things. Yeah.
I used to make them.
Did you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I currently, on my front porch, I am drying the husks, because we had corn, and I was like, wait, stop, I need those. So everybody's like, you know, Violet's like, they're throwing them at each other, and I'm like, stop. So that's something that is creative that you can make with your family as well, to honor sort of the, you know, the first harvest, the corn. I really, like I said, this has been one of those holidays that's overlooked, but I think that it's a really, really important holiday, and looking forward to the, you know, it's the first, you know, it's the first harvest. It's the first time that we can really be thankful for the things that maybe we were cultivating in our lives throughout the year, and just in nature. And so it's a time to stop and have some zucchini bread with some friends. So
there we go. No, I like it. And I'm also kind of sitting there thinking, like, if you're one of those people that you're not into the traditional marketed holidays, well, this would be like an extra day to go do something for, or with, or in memory of mom.
Exactly. Yeah,
that maternal.
Yeah. It's that coming together of, you know, that extended family. And also, I love the idea too of just like, family isn't always blood. Family is often, we make our families. So it's definitely a time to celebrate. And it's chill, but there's in Celtic tradition, there's always wine or mead or beer or something, and you've got to have a little bit of a good time together. So, but I'm looking forward to celebrating with friends and family come Sunday, and I hope that this has helped you guys. And always, you know, if you're interested in the stories, there's just tons and tons and tons of resources out there. I was reading about Lou the other day, and you know, it's just a wonderful the mythology is so rich. And I think that the more that you read the mythology, the more that it kind of resonates with your own, like your own life and your own spirituality. And it's just, it's a lot of fun. It's a good journey, I think.
Yeah. I think getting behind some of the mythology, you understand better what some of these holidays meant to be commercialized. Like there's more understanding.
Right. Exactly.
Or, you know, did the holiday get forgotten?
Over time?
Like exactly.
This yeah.
So, which has a pretty nice meaning. I don't know. It like resonates more to like honor that person who helped take care of, raise you versus, you know, here's this mythical being who didn't like this one and that one took over. So yay.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like Lou, he's a badass, but no, it's so much more than that.
It's not about him. It's about someone who helped him become what he is. So
exactly. That's exactly right. So yeah, I really love it. So I'm hoping it resonates with others. So
well, and if they're local, they can come join in on the celebration, North Olmsted. Yeah, totally. Ohio. So we'll have you back for the next one.
And yeah, Mabel, that's the fruit festival, so we're gonna have all sorts of yummy yummy desserts on that one.
Yay, I'm in.
Pie and wine, there's nothing better.
I can hear the reservations ticking in now.
Oh man.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us. And thank you, Holly.
Thanks for having me. This is always a lot of fun. I enjoy it. So, and I wish you guys all the best.
Yes.
Enjoy.
All right, guys. Bye.
Bye.